How you doing? It is a beautiful morning, isn't it? And as we're dealing with Acts, I thought we'd start in Exodus this morning. When Kenneth was speaking, he sort of drew comparisons between the Old and the New Covenant. And I wonder if you'd ever clicked, when the day that the law was given and Moses came down with the tablets in his hand, the connection between the day the Holy Spirit was given and the day of Pentecost. Let me read you the situation in Acts, in Exodus. It says this, Exodus 32. Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Let's skip forward to Acts. Keep that in mind. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Do you get the connection? The day the law was given, the children of Israel were an absolute mess. And because of that, 3,000 people died that day. The day the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, 3,000 people received new life. It says this in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. Our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the word of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. If the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? For the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. That's a comparison as we start. The law resulted in death. The Spirit resulted in life and glory. Now, we've all come to know it as the Book of Acts. But if you're of my generation, when we only had it in Latin, and then it was upgraded to the King James Version, and a few years ago I modernised myself and took on the new King James Version. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. That's the title it's given. But I was thinking about that, and it should be more rightly be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because if you go through Acts, 28 chapters, nearly 60 times the Holy Spirit or the Spirit is mentioned. That's not because of chance. That's because the Spirit was working in those 30 years of Acts. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in the people that turned the world upside down. They'd just be a club, in effect. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I have to confess this. We are not going to go into great depths. We're going to scratch the surface of the surface of the Holy Spirit. It's up to you to do, in your time, what we're going to sort of open up this morning. Okay, so there's your homework. When I was thinking and praying about speaking on this subject, God showed me four areas he wanted us to concentrate on this morning when it came to the Holy Spirit and we come to Acts. First of all, the Holy Spirit, the power. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, the unifier. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit, the truth. And fourthly, Holy Spirit, the director. So that's where we're going to go this morning. So if we get to the director, you'll know we've nearly finished, okay? So we come to the Holy Spirit, the power. And right at the outset of Acts, we read this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you think about when Jesus came into this world, it was very quiet, wasn't it, really? Only a few people were involved in reality. When the Holy Spirit came, he came with power. Thousands knew something was happening. They didn't know what it was, but they knew something was happening. He came with power. And when he was received, in Acts chapter 2, it says this. And verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Every one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. All of them. There wasn't the chap in the corner that was left out. Every one of them was filled and everyone received the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't a one-off filling. We leak, don't we? Hopefully. And so we need to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the same with those disciples in those early days. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, as it says in chapter 2. But in chapter 4, it again says, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single one of them. And this power was irresistible. When Stephen stood to speak, it says this in Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. This power was irresistible. People might have tried to resist, but the power was irresistible. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, it says this. For your gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It was an ongoing power. That was then. How about today, when Mark was talking about the green? When we think of our individual lives, is the Spirit any different now than he is? Any different then than he is now? 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Holy Spirit's power has not lessened through time. It's the same as it was then. And that power is available for us this morning. I read something this week that struck me, and it said this: you supply the willingness, he supplies the power. I don't know about you, but sometimes we fall into the trap of reversing that. And we think we supply the power and he supplies the willingness. So if we exert all our energy, all our time, all our effort, he's bound to be willing to bless. But that's not the way round. We supply the willingness. He supplies the power. If you think about Isaiah, as he stood before God in all his glory, and he was amazed and astounded by that glory. And when the challenge came out, who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. That power is available for every single one of us to live every single day in the way that God wants us to. He supplies the power. I need to supply the willingness. And that's tough sometimes, isn't it? We're not good at being willing, are we? Or available. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, the unifier, if you think about the people there that day, they were from different countries, they had different languages, different backgrounds, different abilities, different talents, different interests, different circumstances. And yet we read in Acts chapter 2, 44 this. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. How is that possible? Again, we read in Acts chapter 4, 32, it says this. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Have a look around you at the people next to you, in the row behind you. I'll give you permission, you can browse around. It's fine. You know what, we're all different, aren't we? Let me tell you a few things about myself that you might not know. You might do, but you might not. And I want you to see how much you've got in common with me. Okay? As we go through it. I'm 53 in September. That is old, yeah, you're right. I was born in Maidenhead, raised in Maidenhead, and I still live in Maidenhead. You can tell I'm a wanderer by nature. My mum and dad weren't Christians. God saved me at the age of 11, which was quite a few years ago. First 15 years of my life, I was a severe asthmatic. I left school at 16 and I went straight into a job. And all my working time, you could work that out if you got maths, I've only worked for two companies. I've been married 28 years in September. And here's an interesting fact. I developed Crohn's disease about 4 months after I got married. I love reading, and my favourite book is Pride and Prejudice. Fantastic humour in that book. I enjoy jigsaw puzzles. Given a choice, I'd prefer to watch rugby union than football. Sorry about this. I do not support Man United. Okay? I leave that to my brother. Out of choice, I prefer sweets, not chocolate. And here's the last fact for you. I probably hold the record for the most wards stayed in by one person in Wexham Park Hospital. How many of those things connect you to me? Probably, in reality, only one of them. If you're a Christian here this morning, that's probably the only real connection we have, in reality. Apart from that, we'd just be a club, wouldn't we? Apart from that, we'd be a club. The only thing that keeps us together is the unifying power of the Spirit. And sometimes we've got to hold on to that, because sometimes, being human, we rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. But just like those people in the first church were unified by the Spirit, he's still the same. And he still unifies us to live for his glory and for God's glory. You know, so many things could have torn them apart. But there was someone stronger. Someone stronger who kept them together, and it hasn't changed. When we think about the pressures in this world today to conform, and yet God doesn't want us to conform. He wants us to be transformed. And that's what the Spirit's doing in our lives. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And that hasn't changed. And so we come to the truth. The Spirit is the truth. That's one of his titles. Do you realize that? In John 16, it says this. However, this is Jesus speaking. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Do you know what? I wasn't very long into the life of the early church where truth was attacked. It wasn't very long. Acts 5, verses 1 to 11, a really difficult passage to deal with. It's about a man and wife who, when they saw other disciples selling their property, their land, and giving it to the disciples, the apostles to deal with, to use, they decided this was a great thing. They wanted to be looked up to. So they sold the property, but they kept some back. No problem with that at all. But they decided to tell people they were giving it all to the apostles to use. Problem is, it says this in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. That couldn't happen. They needed truth to be paramount in all their lives. It says this, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Those believers' lives will have to be based on truth from the very outset. And anything else had to be dealt with. And it was dealt with strongly that day. If we come forward to Stephen. Stephen, we're told, was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And he was brought before the Jewish leaders. And Acts chapter 7 is his whole discourse to them. And it's very interesting when you sit there. If you read the first 50 verses, it was more or less a history lesson for the Jews. And they probably sat there with their arms folded, feeling very smug and nodding their heads, agreeing with what Stephen had to say. But he had to tell them the truth. And he gets to verse 51. It probably wasn't verse 51 for Stephen. It was just a whole lot of things, but it makes it easiest for us to find. It says this, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Stephen had to speak truth into those lives, to those people. Up to then, they'd agreed with him wholeheartedly as he took them through the history of the children of Israel. But it came to the point when Stephen spoke truth into the situation of those people's lives. And from that moment on, his death was obvious that it was going to happen. That was the only place it was going to lead, because he stood out against these people with the truth. We need to be people of the truth. Truth nowadays can change quite quickly in real life, in public life. What was true yesterday doesn't suit me today, so I'll change it tomorrow. God's word stands truthful today, tomorrow, forever. God's people need to be true to his word today, tomorrow, and forever. But I could speak the truth to someone, and it's the truth, but it's hard. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. The truth doesn't change. The delivery does. And I could say the same thing to the same person in two different ways and have two different reactions. We need to be true to the word. We need to be true to God. But we need to do it in love. Not in condemnation. Not in judgment. Not in a holier-than-thou attitude. We need to speak the truth in love. And then we've got the Holy Spirit, the director. There are some people who like to be in control, don't they? You ever met them? They're lovely to live with, as long as they're someone else's. I don't know if when you learn to drive. I learned to drive, and the driving instructor had controls on his side of the car in case I put ourselves in serious danger. And he was in control, in effect, which made it easier for me to learn, because someone else was always going to be there in control. That's the same for you and me as Christians. The Holy Spirit is in control totally. And we need to be relaxed in that. Not feel that we have to take the wheel or do the driving. He's doing the directing. I just need to follow and be involved. And all the way through Acts, we have the Spirit directing his people. In 2 verse 4, it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They didn't suddenly learn how to speak French. That would be really handy this year because we're going to France on holiday. Whereas the diabetic clinic would be really handy to learn. But the Spirit gave them utterance. Because there were people there that day that would not be able to understand. And it wouldn't be very good if all the Galileans just spoke Galilean, if there were Egyptians there. God wanted his word to spread, and he did that by giving them the ability to reach those people. He directed the words. He directed their contacts. Philip was having a great time, great mission, thousands being contacted. And then the Spirit took him away and put him on a desert road for one person. And the Spirit prompted Philip and he said, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot." I love it when I get clear instructions. Have you ever had an IKEA? And do you shop at IKEA? Instructions have become so simple nowadays, haven't they? But they're simply misunderstood. I mean, you have this, because they think because people don't understand English, they give you pictures. That's even worse. But the Spirit gave clear instructions to Philip. That one person, go there and speak this. He directed their contact. He directed their new ground. In the negative, surprisingly enough, firstly. Here's Paul, in Acts chapter 10, verse 19. And we're back onto new ground. And he's directing Peter into something that's going to cause Peter a bit of a problem. And he's given him the vision of the different foods and said, "Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, I'm not doing that. That's not right." He got that sorted out. Then we read this. When Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." It's great when people look for you, don't they? Seek you. Problem was, these were not Jews, which is a definite big no-no as far as Peter was concerned. But he obeyed what the Spirit said. But he got in trouble for it. He was called out for it. And so in chapter 11, he has to give an account of what he's done. And he doesn't change it. "Then the Spirit told me to go to them, doubting nothing." This was completely new ground for the believers. And the problem is, unless the Spirit directed them, it'd be all of themselves. The timing would have been wrong. The way would have been wrong. But the Spirit directed Peter at a certain time, in a certain way, how to act. And then we come to Acts 13, verses 2 and 4. And it says this. "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said to me, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them.'" Notice what they didn't do. They didn't think, "Well, who's a good speaker? Oh, we'll have him. We'll choose him." Or, "Who's a good people person? We'll have him." And the Spirit made it clear who he was choosing and what he was choosing them for. Because it then goes on to say, So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down. It was the Holy Spirit that called out people. Now, we've had 2 years of looking for a pastor. And we've met a lot of people. And we've got a South African. Not expected, completely unbelievable. And yet God was calling out his man and his woman at the right time for this place. Not our plans, not our ideas. The Spirit was prompting and the Spirit was moving. But where do we go? Who do we go to? Who don't we go to? What time do we go? Acts chapter 16 is very interesting. We always think of Acts 16 with the Philippian jailer, don't we? But we wouldn't have got to the Philippian jailer if Paul had his way. It says this. It says this in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now we were going through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Here was the Spirit saying to Paul, no, that's not my way. That's not where you're going. And imagine if Paul hadn't had his ear open for the Spirit. What would have happened? We wouldn't have got Acts chapter 16 for starters anyway. We need to be keeping our ears open to the Spirit's prompting and the Spirit's guidance, because we have lots of ideas, lots of good ideas, lots of plans. But if it's not of God, it's wasted time, wasted energy, wasted effort. And Acts chapter 18. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. He directed their words. He compelled their words. Ever at a time when you feel you need to say something? Or you need to speak to someone? And it's not of yourself. Listen to the compelling of the Spirit. So there we go. The Holy Spirit, the power, the unifier, the truth, the director. He was all those things in Acts. He should be all those things in NCC today. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that leads us into all truth. Father, we pray that you might just keep us close to your word and to your truth. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and the power that changed so many people's lives and is changing so many people's lives. Father, we pray that you might continue to work as you have worked. Your power is no less. We pray that we might be willing people, ready to be used with your power and for your glory. Amen.